I would just like to join my voice in saying a big thank you to those who are helping to coordinate. We're working every week to make it better, and hopefully we will get there. Let me also welcome those who are near and far. You can drop us a line, send us an email at our website, and let us know where you're worshiping from, and maybe a few words of greetings. And I want to thank also our AV department, because without their hard work, we could not be in the house of God delivering this message today. Last week, we had the sad experience of laying to rest our very own Lisa Russell. And we just met in a cemetery, seven of us and her husband, John, because of the situation we're in. Lisa's family are from Chatham, Ontario, and they were not able to be here. But we thank you for those who have been praying for John and for the family. This week we had Sister Porter, who lost her husband, Lyndon Forbes Samson Aram. Yes, he was from Guyana, and he has that name. He died this week, and we want to remember Sister Porter in this time. Tomorrow, I would like you to join us right here. That is, you will be in your home, but we are going to have a virtual service for our very own Trier Valentine, a 34-year-old who died suddenly, leaving her son, Kevon, DJ, and her 15-month-old daughter, Leah. It's a difficult time for everybody, but the burden is made lighter when it is shared. So I'm asking you tomorrow at noon, tune into this very website and join us for that service to honor God's daughter who was from the Ecorus Seventh-day Adventist Church. We want to remember the Valentine and Whitehead family at this time as they mourn their loss. Father in heaven, today we just want to pause and ask your divine presence, your power, as we speak this word. Remind us that it's all about you. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. This is a difficult time, a time of tragedy, floods, and then we have COVID-19. We're living in a time where the world is not saying, let's just deal with the virus and leave the other problems behind. Things are still happening. And when we are in this perplexed situation, it is my conviction that we need to hear from God. We need to hear a word from God. And this morning, the word comes from Isaiah chapter 40. And just to give us a sense as to what was happening, we had the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, threatening to come in and lay siege to Jerusalem and to tell God what he's going to do to his people. In other words, Israel, Judah, were in trouble. And they looked to the man of God, the prophet Isaiah, and they were looking for him to tell them something that God would do so as to bring them some ease and comfort. Just like us today, whatever our perplexities, whatever our worries, it is good to know that we can lean on our God. And so Isaiah 40 begins, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." This is the NIV's translation version of Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. I want to read from the Message translation. "Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see and imagine. He doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch his breath. This is the God we serve, and he knows everything, inside out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind." Today, I want to speak on the subject, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard?" Here is God sharing some stuff with us in answer to this question, which is really a rhetorical question. God is not looking for an answer. He's saying, number one, you should have known that God is alive. That's the God we serve. He is alive. If he is alive, he is eternal. And he reminds us by the psalmist, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." So today, God is saying, have you not heard? Do you not know that I am alive? I am the creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Sometimes we are listening to people and we may forget that they are just like us, meaning they are created beings. The Creator is the one that we should be listening to. Not only is God the Creator, Jeremiah reminds us, "And Lord, our Lord, God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by the great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Nothing. God is Creator. And Luke tells us, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." God is alive. There are three things I'm going to say about God today, and I want you to recall them in your mind. The first one is, God is alive. Don't behave as if he's dead. He is alive, and all things are possible with him. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Not only is God alive, but God assists. How do we know that God assists? Well, the word tells us, verse 29 of Isaiah chapter 40, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Question: do you ever feel weary? Do you feel as if you are in need of strength? I'm reminded of this guy, Elijah, in a drought. No rain, nothing to eat. When there is no water, you can't plant. And he runs from a cave and goes to a place called Zarephath. And there he reaches a widow who was gathering sticks. Now, sticks is a very familiar term to Americans. If you are from the islands, we would say bramble. Picking up some bramble, she's going to make a fire, and she has a little flour and a little oil, and she's going to make two cakes for herself and her son. And she said, "We're going to eat it, and then we're going to die." But she meets the man of God who tells her, "Make for me first." And she obeys. And I just love the word says that she made first for Elijah. He ate. And then that flour that she had that was supposed to end that day and that little cruise with oil, every day she went to her kitchen, she found flour and she found oil. God assists. Then we think of that teenager by the name of David, facing a giant. Don't get it twisted. Yes, he had slain a bear and a lion. Yes, he was good with his slingshot. But don't fool yourself. When David took that small stone and put it in his sling and let it go, you got to know that God assisted. And that stone was moving at a certain speed, and it increased in velocity, and it slammed into the giant's head, and he was dead. It was David using the sling. It was God giving the assist. God assists. He's not only alive, but he assists. And then we think of Elisha, the prophet, worshiping at a school. And there was little room. They could not worship. They needed more space. And so they decided to go and cut down some trees so that they can use the timber to build this school. Back then, it's not like today. Today you can go to Home Depot and buy what you need. Iron was not plentiful back then. And they had borrowed an axe. And the record says in 2 Kings that a young man was trying to cut down a tree, and the iron head of the axe left the wooden shaft, landed in a body of water, and sank to the bottom. And he cried out, "Alas, master, it was borrowed." And he called the man of God. That says something. When you're in trouble, make a call for the men and women of God. And Elisha came, told him what happened. He was in distress. Elisha said, "Show me where it went." Elisha took a stick, threw it into the water. And the Bible says the iron did swim. It came to the top. And what I find interesting about that story or that act was this fact, that the same power that brought the axe from the bottom of the water, of this body of water, could have hoisted it onto the land. But then Elisha told the young man, "Go in and take it out." In other words, it seems to be saying that God doesn't want us not to be involved. He will assist. We have our part and he has his part. There are things that we can do. God wants us to do them. But the things that we can't do, let us remember God assists. So when we think of God, he is not only alive and he does not only assist, but this God assures. Now, you notice the theme of A's, triple A. But we're not talking about the Automobile Association of America. This triple A is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God is alive, he assists, and he assures. And so now we come back to Isaiah chapter 40. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." There is nothing wrong with waiting. But sometimes we are waiting and we are fretting. The way we are waiting is not bringing a blessing to God. So how should we wait? How should we wait? The first thing is, Proverbs 3 reminds us, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." That word, T-R-U-S-T, means have patience. So when we are waiting, we're being patient. We must wait not only in patience, with patience, but we must wait in precept. That is to say, while we are waiting, God expects us to be living according to his word. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." In other words, the psalmist is saying to us that it should be a joy to wait on God. And when we wait upon God in patience and in precept, we will do what he says. And God promises that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How should we wait? We should wait in prayer. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and he shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. We wait in prayer. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. In this time of anxiety, frustration, fear, bewilderment, sadness, grief, complacency, God says we need to learn how to wait. And then Paul tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So how should we wait? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wait in patience. We need to wait in precept, and we need to wait in prayer. So here is Israel. God's people are being reproved for their unbelief and distrust of God. And so Isaiah had to ask, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? This is language reproving Israel for not trusting what God can do. Isaiah says God is creator. He never gets weary. And he is unsearchable. In other words, he has no beginning and he has no end. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And so now, Isaiah brings this thing to where we can have the confidence we need. Isaiah 37. Therefore, this is what the Lord God says concerning the king of Assyria. Let me remind you that Sennacherib came telling them what he's going to do. Read the chapter when you have some time. I was going to say when you get home, but you're already home. Read a chapter. Sennacherib had made some conquests in the neighborhood. He had taken other countries. And he didn't know that what he was doing was ordained by God. Sometimes God uses the enemy to teach us a lesson. But now he had gone too far. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. And God had to give a response. Therefore, this is what the Lord God says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. Let me just pause for a second. Sometimes when we receive a benefit from God, it's not for us, it's for God's sake and for our parents and for our forefathers who went before us. Sometimes you receive a blessing, it's coming to you, but God is saying, it's for my sake and for David, my servant's sake. So the word is, how Sennacherib arrives, he's going to go back with no spoil. He's going to have nothing. And I just love what the word says now. Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. These are soldiers. They had chariots. They had swords, spears. If it were today, they would have had all the modern fighting machinery. The Assyrian army at that time was number one. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, let me just interject. There is no kind of weapon that man can produce that can stand in the face of God. They had everything. And in just a moment, just like that, when the people next morning, they were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. God says, you're going to go back just how you came. His men were gone, but that was not his end. One day, while he was worshiping, I want you to take note of this. While he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, notice God there is with a common G. The only God there is the Creator. He who is everlasting. He has no beginning and no end. So Sennacherib is in his temple. You got to be careful the temple in which you worship and the God to whom you worship. And while he is worshiping, because you see, he probably saying, you know what? They got me this time. They killed 185,000 of my men, but I'm going to regroup. Nisroch, help me out. I'm going to go back. And what irony. While he was there praying to his God, Adrammelech and Sherezer killed him with the sword. These were his sons. God can use anybody to accomplish his task. So, God is saying to Israel, hast thou not heard? Hast thou not known? His sons, after killing him, escaped to the land of Ararat. And there they stayed until they met their end. So, what is God saying to us today? First, he wants to remind us that he is alive. Whatever you're dealing with, God is alive. And because he's alive, we will acknowledge him as Creator. And if you are his, if someone is messing with you, they're messing with your God. He is alive. He assists. There are things God will have you do. And there are things he knows you can't do, but you got to trust him. You got to wait in prayer, in precept, and be patient with God. And God assures. He sends Isaiah to tell Israel, don't worry about it. The same way Sennacherib came, he's going to go back. He came empty-handed. He's going to go back empty-handed. Well, I like these three things about God. I don't know about you, but I like the fact that my God is alive. I like the fact that my God is there to assist me. He's going to help me. Whether it's with money, with flour, whether he's going to help me in terms of not allowing a giant to stand for 40 days defying his name, whether God is going to help in the situation where your son was arrested and convicted wrongfully. Let me tell you, there are people in this system serving time for crimes they did not commit. Let me remind you that God is going to assist you. Don't lose hope. You may have a loved one sick, a sickness unto death. It may not be COVID, it may be the other C, cancer. God will assist you. And God sends his assurance. He says, just look and see what I did to Sennacherib and how I saved Israel, and I can save you. But in keeping with the theme of A's, I like the fact that God is alive. I like the fact that he assists. I like the fact that he assures. But there is something else beginning with an A that I like about God. And it comes to us in this song. And I want us to listen to it because my God is awesome. That's what he is. He is awesome. My God is awesome. Just the kind of God we will serve. I just love the fact that God is awesome.